Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus and the Feast of Passover. The Feast of Passover. In 2 weeks, we're going to be celebrating Passover around the world. The Jews will. It'll be the beginning of the seven feasts of the Lord. Every year they celebrate seven of them, and Passover is the very first one. And so let's look at our scripture reading in 1 Corinthians 5, and let's read 5, 7 through 8. And it reads, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And so, what we're reading here that Paul wrote down is that in the Ancient of Times, when Moses, we've been studying about Moses. Pastor Art's been teaching us, man, Tuesday night regarding Moses and the sacrifices. Okay, well, it was a foreshadow of what would come. So Jesus finally came on the scene. And did you know, at the same time that they were sacrificing the morning sacrifice on the Temple Mount, they were sacrificing Yeshua on the same hill. Same time. And the songs that they sang, it was ordained by his father that his son would be sacrificed that day. And so, Passover has been a principle. Let's see, I got it written down here. Listen to this. Passover has been the principal feast of the Jewish people for 3,400 years. Ever since the people left Egypt. Now, we read about that, right? When Moses set them free. Passover is a foreglimpse of the redemption of mankind. For those who will accept redemption, it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I read a scripture. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come through the Father but through me." Okay, that scripture alone separated that, our relationship with Christ, it separated all the religions of the world. Because all the other religions of the world believe that they can get to God their way. No, Jesus says, it must be through me. He is the gatekeeper. He's at the door. He's the bread of life. He's the only one that can bring salvation to mankind. And so, right up here on the screen, Sunday through Saturday, sundown, April 2nd through 4th, 2026, all around the world, the Passover feast will be celebrated around the world. On the biblical calendar, it is Nisan 15 through 17, 5786. It's when Jesus was crucified, he died, was buried in his tomb, but even more profound is on Saturday, April 12th, on Nisan 17, he rose again.
Amen.
He rose again. He rose again. And so when April 4th rolls around, you're going to get a text from me. He has risen. He has risen, because He didn't just rise on our calendar time. He rose on his biblical calendar. Amen? And so let's see how this somehow intertwines and confirms that Passover in the Old Testament was a glimpse and a foreshadow of the risen Christ, of Jesus. What Jesus would do for us, the final sacrifice. How many are so blessed to know that he died for our sins? He washed you in his blood. Hello, he purified your heart. And now he's ready to come back and redeem us and put us in a new body. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. This one's failing me, I'm sorry. But that new one, woo! That new one is going to be, you can't describe it other than it's going to be brand new. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 19, verse 14. We're going to read these scriptures. Let's read this story. Here we go. John 19, 14 through 16. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover. Notice they were preparing for Passover there in Jerusalem, throughout all Israel. And about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. Then the story picks up in verse 17. Look at this. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on other side and Jesus in the center. Both of them, brother, just a little bit. Look at verse 31. Look at verse 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the bodies should not remain on the cross. On what day? Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, huh? For the Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be what?
Taken away.
So that was a custom. In order to further the death. Okay, the way it worked, they hung on a cross. They were nailed, and their feet nailed together to the cross. So their whole body slunched over. But in order for them to expedite the death, they had to break the legs. Because the legs kept their upper body up, but when their legs broke, they slouched, and then they would suffocate, and then they would die faster by breaking the legs. So let's read here again in verse 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be what? Taken away. Verse 32. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. He didn't realize that was the blood that would take away the sins. He shed his blood right there, huh? Let's look at verse 40. Then they took the body of Jesus and they bound it in the strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews, preparation day for the tomb was what? Nearby. So, as you can see the sequence, it was on Passover. The day they were celebrating Passover, he was crucified. They took him down, and then they took him to the tomb. And there is where they washed him and wrapped him in linen clothes. Okay? That was the custom. Now, I need you to look at this. Here are the seven feasts of the Lord to be reminded. So we are focusing today on Passover. Nisan 15. That's when he died. Now, when they took him and they put him in his tomb, he laid in his tomb on this day and that day. The following day, it's called the unleavened bread. They celebrate unleavened bread. But on the third day, the next feast is called first fruits. That's where he rose again. Okay? He didn't rise on Easter Sunday. And he didn't have a basket of Reese's peanut butter eggs with him. Okay? It's none of that. He rose on first fruits. First fruits. And then for 40 days, he walked this earth. He was seen by over 500 people. It's in the Word. There was witnesses all over the place. And then he had the body that would appear and disappear. We read that the disciples were in a closed house. The doors were closed. And then all of a sudden, he appeared in front of them. And then Thomas, remember doubting Thomas? He didn't believe that God rose again. And so, Thomas, touch my hands, touch my side. And he fell on his face. And what did he say? My Lord and my God. Now, Jesus could have told him right then and there, I'm not God. I'm not God. He didn't. He received it as worship because Jesus is God.
That's right.
Can I get amen? Don't let anyone tell you, oh, he's not God. He's just a son of God. No, he's God in the flesh.
Yes.
Hallelujah. With no sin. Thank you, God. Now, when he floated away after 40 days, he was just lifted up. And they were all looking at him. All his disciples were there watching him float away all the way until they could not see him again. Then the angels that were behind him said, don't you know this same Jesus that went away is coming back in the same like manner? So in other words, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back from heaven, coming down to pick us home, to take us home. How many can't wait for that moment? Okay, so after first fruits, in 40 days, he ascended to the Father. But from first fruits, 50 days later, that's the fourth feast. It's the Feast of Pentecost. Now, Pastor R's been teaching us when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments. Remember that? That was on Shavuot. That was Pentecost. So a lot of people kid around that Moses was the first Pentecostal. No. No. But how ironic. The law came, and then thousands of years later, the Holy Ghost was poured out. So remember, we read 3,000 perished. In Moses' day, 3,000 got saved when the Holy Ghost was poured out. Come on! Jesus! So now you look at the fall, those are yet to be fulfilled. You got trumpets, Yom Kippur, and tabernacles. And trumpets is, I truly believe, will be the rapture of the church. It'll be one of those 2 days. It's a 2-day feast. No one knows the day or the hour. But it's on the Feast of Trumpets. Could be this year, next year. And then Yom Kippur is the day of redemption. That's when we're redeemed. Everybody. Israel becomes redeemed. Those who will be saved, there's redemption. And then the last tabernacle, the last feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. That is going to be the beginning of 1,000 years on earth, living face to face with God. Jesus is going to rule from Jerusalem. Why is Jerusalem such a hot topic? Why do the enemy want to destroy the Jews? Why do they want Israel destroyed? For thousands and thousands of years, Amalek told Moses, you're going to be your enemy. You're going to fight this enemy generation after generation. He told Moses that the Lord he was going to be fighting out Amalek. And then if you missed it last week, on the Jews' Torah portion, the Jews in their synagogues around the world, they read what's called a Torah portion. And it's the same verse of scripture that every synagogue reads. They could be in Spain. They could be in France. They could be in Africa. They could be in Israel, here in the United States. But when they open up to that Torah portion, it's the very same scripture that they're reading to their congregation. It was February 28th. And guess what happened February 28th last month? The Ayatollahs were totally destroyed. They didn't realize that Amalek was going to be wiped away because the Ayatollah, his lineage goes back to Agag, and Agag to Amalek. And in their Torah portion, it says that the Lord was going to pour out his fury on Elam. Elam is Iran. And that it would be no more. They read that and they didn't even know what they were reading. So God was announcing to the world, guess what I'm about to do right now? This is why I entitled last week's message, God is in what? Total control.
Yes, He is.
He's in control. He's in control of this. He knows when He's going to fulfill all that. He's already fulfilled the first four. He's going to fulfill the last three. He's in total control. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so the millennial reign in tabernacles, what tabernacles means is that God is going to tabernacle with men. So in other words, we're going to rule and reign with Him on this earth for 1,000 years. Just imagine 1,000 years ruling with Him. We're going to be in our glorified bodies, and there's going to be humans on this earth. That's amazing. And this is why we'll be able to move as fast as we want. We're not going to be sick. We won't never need doctors. We're never going to grow old. We'll be formed higher than the angels, and we will report to the Lord. He will speak to our mind. And we could be in China just by thinking of it. We're there. I'm telling you, the new body is going to be mind-blowing. But this is for us, His believers, that love Him, that are born again. These ain't wannabe Christians. This is for the one who has truly given their heart and are born again, that love Him, that follow Him, that honor Him, that have a prayer life with Him. You hear from Him and you know it's Him. You communicate with Him. He shows you signs and wonders in your life. He does miracles in your life. He just wants to confirm, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
How many of you experienced tremendous miracles? Oh my gosh. Come on. Some of us shouldn't even be here right now. Some of us should have been, 6 feet under already. God said, not so. I got a mighty plan for you. He's got a plan for us, doesn't he?
Amen.
And so we're going to look at this character here. Look at this. Let my people go. Remember that? Let my people go. Yes. Let's look at Exodus here. Exodus 12:3. This is God giving instructions to Moses. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. What is the lamb needed? They're preparing for the Passover feast. Look at this. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. When you look at it, it's like the sign of a cross. They're actually putting a cross on their door with blood. Look at this. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Look at verse 8. Then they shall eat the flesh on the night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. And what remains of it until the morning, you shall what? Burn with fire. Burn it with fire. Thank you, God. Now, verse 11. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Let me just say this. When the wrath of God is poured out on this earth, Jesus will pass over us.
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why? Because He has put His blood on the doorpost of our heart. We are covered and washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is why when I'm leading someone to Christ, I always mention the blood. Can I get amen? What could wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's all about the blood. Can I get amen? Now, we're going to explain a little more regarding those feasts that I showed you. Look at Leviticus 23 here. Look at this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall what? Proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts. Okay, before I explain this, and explain what the Hebrew word, what it means, feasts and convocations. First thing that comes to mind concerning the feast of the Lord, when I first read that, I was thinking hometown buffet. There was no Golden Corral yet. But in National City, it was an all-you-can-eat Chinese place, which kicked out five big Samoans that were there. They were just eating them out. They threw them out. I remember I was there when they threw them out. It doesn't mean feast. It doesn't mean that type of a feast, which the Lord shall proclaim a holy convocation. Now, when I saw convocation, I was thinking, like, you ever gone to a child's recital and they're performing, like performing arts, they're playing piano or violin or something before their parents and their peers? I thought that was what that meant. Wrong. Let's look what feast. Look at this. The Hebrew word for feast is also moed, meaning appointed times. That's what feast means in Hebrew. It's called moed. And let's look at convocation. The Hebrew word for convocation is mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. You know what that means? For 3,400 years, every year the Jews go through the seven feasts. And they keep doing the same thing over and over. It's a dress rehearsal. Little do they know that Jesus is going to fulfill them all. So let's just say you're in a big old play. You think you're going to knock out that play by having one practice? No, you're going to have many dress rehearsals. You got to put the costumes on, and then you got to go through the play, and then you got to come back another day and do the same thing. They're called dress rehearsals, right? Until the big show comes. They've been going that through the seven feasts for every year. And now, Jesus has fulfilled the first four. He's about ready to fulfill the last three. Amen. You see, the Passover lamb was to be made. It was to be a male without any kind of defect. It had to be perfect. Was Jesus perfect?
Yes.
Did he have any sin?
No.
There was no blemish on him. Only he could have taken away our sin. All of the people must slaughter the Passover lamb. Why? Because there is a deliverance for those who are covered by the blood of the Passover lamb. Nothing of the Passover lamb was to be left till morning. The Passover lamb was to have no broken bones. The same regulations apply to the Gentiles and to the Jewish people. Notice this. They were not supposed to break the bones of the animals of this lamb during Passover. None of Jesus' bones were broken on the cross. Remember they came with their bats and they broke the legs of the two thieves? And when they came to Jesus, they didn't break his legs. He was already gone. He beat them to it. My. So, let's look now at the parallels of the Passover and the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, as Israel was in bondage to Egypt, so man is a slave to sin. See, we're born into this world in sin because of who? Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. And so let's look at this. For 430 years, saints, the Hebrew people served the Egyptians. They had no other choice but to serve them. Every day they made bricks, built pyramids, served their masters. If they disobeyed, they were beaten badly. If they rebelled, they were killed. Such is the life of a slave. How many would love that life? There was no health care. You couldn't even get an EBT card. No. You were just basically a slave. You lived to serve them and die. That's it. No other life. So let's look at this. Number two. Each of us was born into this world as a slave to sin. We were no different. We may not have been in the mud pits and the bricks and all that, but some of us was toe up from the flow up. Some of us were gangbangers. Some of us were drug addicts. Some of you were addicted to pornography and all manner of licentiousness and addictions. Oh, come on. Some of us had potty mouths that were unbearable. Oh, yeah. We were a slave to sin no differently than those slaves were to the Egyptians. I need you to see the parallel. So each of us was born into this world as a slave to sin. Now, let's look at how Paul wrote this in Romans 5:18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. That means Adam and Eve. Resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free act of gift came to all men, resulting in justification. That was Jesus Christ. He came. Justification of life. Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will become righteous. Turn to your neighbor and say, Christ has made you righteous. Aren't you so blessed to know that the righteousness that's upon us now didn't come from our own righteousness? The Bible says our own righteousness is but what? Filthy rags. But we have the righteousness of Christ. Look at this, in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Let me just say this. I don't care where an unbeliever is situated. He could be in the middle of a gang fight, shooting, war, gang warfare. A person could be in a nightclub filled with lust and iniquity and just there waiting to see who he or she could come home with. You could be at a party snorting it, smoking it, I don't care what it is. You could be anywhere. But the Bible says this. Look at this. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So in other words, God can reach you right where you're at. In other words, you could be in that predicament. As I mentioned, and God could say, I'm going to save you right now. Amen. And just pull you out of that and give you a brand new life. Right. A brand new life. A new life. Many of us here have experienced that new life. We're no longer the same by the grace of God. How many are so blessed to know that you're not the same no more? Amen. Woo! Thank you, God. Look how Paul wrote it here. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was sharing with Sister Tammy earlier. I'm going to send her these links by Janie Duvall and by John Burke. Combined, they don't even know each other, different ministries, but they have interviewed over 1,000 people who's had NDEs. You know what NDE is? Near-death experience. And every one of them that was shown heaven, and these people don't even know each other, resembled what they saw fitted like a glove. They said even the grass, the little blades of grass, was praising God. It was singing to God. The leaves, the trees. He said everyone was like 30 years old in there. There was peace. There was no sorrow there. There was love you couldn't comprehend. As soon as they got there, there was so much love that no way they wanted to come back to this earth. Because God fills them with this joy and love. A lot of them ran into their family members from generations past, like 200-300 years ago that you never met. They were there waiting for you, greeting you. There were cities with golden rivers and things that human hands didn't build. And they saw the throne room and they saw God the Father sitting there, and there was a light just beaming out of him. He was spirit, but it was a light, and right next to him was his son, Jesus, sitting right next to him at the right hand. They all similarly said this, what he looked like, the features. None of them were wrong. It was like, oh my God. And these people don't even know each other. So how did they get there? Some of them died with a heart attack in bed. One was in a hideous, him and his buddy, they were like 19 years old. They were on a motorized skateboard. And they go about 30 miles an hour. And they were making a turn, and his back end caught a curb. He went flying, fell on his head, broke his whole head open, and he saw himself immediately removed from his body. And he saw his friend holding his lifeless body and crying out, "Don't die, you're not going to die." And then a light shone, and he was sucked right into a tunnel that went up. And as soon as he was going, and they all said, "We were traveling faster than the speed of light, past the second heaven." And then they went, there was like a big, huge pearl looking tunnel. Beautiful, they said. The blue color and everything. And angels throughout. And they were all worshiping God as you were coming through. And then when you got through there, all these people were greeting you, and then Jesus was there. And all they wanted to do was hold on to Jesus, just hug him. And he would speak to their mind, not through his lips. He would speak to their mind and showed them all these mansions. This one guy got to see over 1 million white horses. And he goes, "What are those for?" And the angel said, "These are the war horses when we come back for the Battle of Armageddon. That we're all going to get on one of them with him and come down and destroy the enemies here. Where the millennial reign will then begin. On that feast day I showed you." All that is getting ready. And all of them, now these people are around different parts of the United States, around in other countries. They don't know each other, but they had the same experience and they saw the same thing. Is that a coincidence? But you don't want to know what the rocker saw. This one rocker he wasn't a believer. But God had mercy on him. He sent him to hell. He said it was the most hideous thing. He said people in there were screaming. Worms were coming out of their ears and their mouth. And their bodies were being burnt up, and then it would grow back again. For eternal punishment. It's eternal torture. God's not there. And the stench and the screeks and the yelling and the screaming. And then Jesus came, spoke to him, and before he put him back in his body, he said, "You will be giving your heart to me, and you will tell others about this horrible place that I spoke about in my word." Because Jesus said, "Where the worm dieth not, So all those interviews are there with these people, man. I'm telling you, I was like, wow. You know, they're like hour-long interviews. It's a podcast. Just talking to them. 700 Club had the guy on, the one that fell off the motor skateboard. Yeah, he's been all over the place sharing his experience. And so I believe God is coming soon. I believe he's preparing us. I believe those people are there to confirm in us, just to keep holding on, because that better place is ahead of us. We're going to be delivered from this place, this earthly realm. You know, there's pain here. There's suffering here. There's death here. Things die here. So, not in heaven. Nothing dies there. There's no need for toilets. There's no need for sleeping. You don't sleep up there. You don't hear, man, I'm tired, I need to go home. But not like that. Nothing hurts. It's amazing. There's no blood going through your hand. There's no need for breathing. Isn't that something? My goodness. Yet you can eat there. You can eat, but it's once you get past once it gets past, it just it disintegrates. So in other words, nothing. There's no decaying. Let me put it as gentle as that. There's no decaying. There's no. Man, it's amazing, man. I said, man, how come you didn't make us like that down here? Eat anything you want and don't worry about your weight. Let's move on. Look at Romans 3:23. Look at this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation, meaning a substitute by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Isn't that a blessing? That I got saved at 30, but I sinned a whole bunch before I got saved. Well, he passed over all that, despite of that. And then from that moment on, at the age of 30, he wiped away the whole past, present, and the future. For you, he did that for you too. Wow. God did it. He passed over our sins. Aren't you so blessed? Yes. So I don't care what you have ever done, what you ever said, it's under the blood now. Amen. And don't think of it no more. Yeah. Because if you start thinking about the old stuff, that's Satan condemning you. Because God is not putting that in your mind. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's forgotten about our sins. He says he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. And he buries them. In the book of Psalms says he buries our sins in the sea of what? That's right. A sea of forgetfulness. Isn't that something? He remembers them no more. But look at this. Why can't we simply stop sinning? I'm talking about here on earth. You ever ask yourself that? Oh, I'm going to be good today. Man, I'm just going to put worship music on. Man, I'm going to be good. Yeah, man. Let's see what's on the news. And oh my gosh, this half-cladded lady just popped up. And yet, it's like, it's a commercial, but it struck something as a man. First thing could come to a man's mind is a moment of a quick second of lust, right? I go, oh man, I was supposed to be good today. See, when we get that new body, we're not going to have moments like that. Nothing. Our minds are going to be pure. They'll be pure. We won't look at each other with lust or covetousness or what can I get out of you and what's in it for me. All that will be eradicated. We're just going to be filled with His love.
Amen.
We're going to be consumed in His love. My goodness. And so, why can't we simply just stop? Look at this. In Romans 6:20, my. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have them in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of what?
Sin
is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever got on a diet and then just get right off it?
Every day.
Have you ever started an exercise program? It was good for 2 days. And then that machine just started to collect dust again. Have you ever tried to clean up your life and miserably failed? One of the reasons why is we live in a sinful body. And a lot of times it wants to have a Burger King life. You know, old time preachers, I remember this, old time, you know, like when we attended North Park, they used to preach about dying to self, crucifying the flesh. Now the sermon today, oh, God is love. He'll work it out. No, you know what? In this life, I'm talking about here on earth, there are some things we have to crucify. I'm sorry. There's some things we have to say no to. Can I get amen? Because if we don't, the flesh is going to want to have its way.
That's right.
We just want to pamper the flesh. There are some things we got to say, no. I can't look at that no more. I can't hear that no more. I can't go do that no more. I serve a mighty God. And He saved me from so much. And now I just want to honor Him and please Him. It's all about honoring the King. When you come to that place in your life, oh my gosh, things will get so, I'm going to say, so beautiful in your life. Even with all our shortcomings. Even when our body gets sick. Even when something happens financially. Even when your kids go lopsided on you. God is still good. And God will help you in your time of need. Let's look at this for a moment right up here. Just as the Hebrew people could not just leave Egypt, we cannot just simply leave our sin. It is tough until we get the new body. Then we'll be delivered from it. The Hebrews needed God to deliver them, okay? We need God to deliver us from our sin. As the firstborn of Egypt died, so death comes to all men. It comes to all of us. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from a so great of a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. How many believe that He's still going to deliver us? I don't care what you're going through. He's going to deliver us. Look at number 5. God promised that the firstborn in Egypt would die. Remember we read that? The firstborn of Egypt would die. And as surely as the firstborn died in Egypt, Now death comes to us all. The Bible plainly says what is obvious to everyone. And it says perfectly in Hebrews, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this is the what? Judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. I need you to catch that. To those who what? What does that last sentence say?
Apart from sin for salvation.
No, let's go further. To those who what? What does eagerly mean? No. What does eagerly mean?
Excited.
To those who cannot wait for it. To those who desire it. To those who are looking for it. To those who want nothing else in life but that. Did you catch that? It's to those who eagerly wait for him. There's people not waiting for him. There's people throughout every day, man, that Jesus is not even in their thought life. They're not praying. They're not looking unto the Lord. They don't come out for prayer. No. They're not eagerly waiting for him. They don't go to Bible studies. They don't do nothing. They don't do none of that. They're not eagerly waiting for him. But the Word of God says, to those, I need you to catch this, to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. So he's only coming for those who are looking for him. Who want to be with him. He's not coming for those that, I just go through life. Just, you know, yeah. If I go to study, I go. If I go to church, I go. If I pray, I pray. You know, if I give, I give. If I do whatever. You know, they have no desire. They have no desire to be with him. So I need you to see that. Because it's in the Word. We better be eager to see him.
Yes.
Every morning, man, I'm before I go to bed, that's me. I'm eagerly saying, God, if you come in my sleep, come and take me. If I have to die in my sleep, come and take me. Lord, tomorrow when I wake up during the day, I'm looking for you, God, to take me.
Yes.
I'm eagerly waiting. I'm reminding him that I'm eagerly waiting for you, Lord. And when you have that mindset, he will come for you. He's not coming for those that don't care about seeing him. Let me just ask you this. As humans, not as God, do you go visit people that don't want nothing to do with you? Come on. I'm just being honest here. Do you go visit people that they don't care for you? They don't care less if they see you or talk to you. So do you just happen to go by and knock and say, hi, you know, this fellowship, haven't seen you in a while, how you doing? Most people don't. They stay away. Because there might be a falling out or something. Something might be said and trigger something, and then all of a sudden there's an argument. But those who are eagerly waiting for him, he's going to come and get those that want him.
That's right.
That want to be with him. They know that this life is temporary and that it's better to be with him as we wait for him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So, note that the word appointed, it's very similar to appointment. We all have an appointment with death. Some have an early appointment. Some have a late appointment. But never forget that we all have an appointment to death. Now, some 1,500 years later, a prophet named John the Baptist was preaching about the coming of the kingdom of God. And so he baptized many people as they repented of their sins. It was for the baptism of repentance. And he looked up the river, and he saw a man coming toward him, and knew exactly who he was, because he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to show up. And look at this. In John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away what? The sins of the world." Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You see, Scripture had to be fulfilled. And this is why John baptized him. And when Jesus came out of the water, the Holy Spirit fell on him. And then the heavens opened up, and his Father spoke to him. What did he say? "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." Immediately he went into what? 40 days of trials. And who was the first one to greet him in the wilderness? Old Slewfoot. Right there. If you the Son of Man, just turn those rocks into bread. My. So let's look. Look at number 7. As the blood of the Lamb saved the Hebrews, so the blood of Christ saves us. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Look what 1 John wrote here. Look at this. In 1 John, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the what? The truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from what?
All.
Some sin?
All.
Little bit of sin?
All.
All sin. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. My. So saints, in the garden, Adam and Eve, when they fell short and they sinned, what was the first thing they had to do? They covered themselves. And so this is where we see the first time where they had to kill an innocent animal for a skin covering. Something had to die now. Before, they would look at each other, you know, in the purity of nakedness, and there was no sin. But as soon as they sinned, that sinful mind came in. What came in with that? Everything. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All these things entered in that was never there. And now, they had an appointment with death. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Look at Genesis. It spells it out. "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.'" Verse 23. "Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man." You see, the Garden of Eden was to be a paradise for mankind. It was perfect. He named all the animals by name. Nothing there died. Nothing there was killed for food. No sicknesses, no disease. until they disobeyed. And once they disobeyed, it was over. And they were tossed out of there. So when Jesus comes and takes us home, guess where he's taking us? Back to the garden. Back to the garden where it all began. And we're going to be with him. Man, how many can't wait for that? How many can't wait for that? And so, as we come in for a close, in Hebrews, we're going to cover a couple of scriptures. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no what? Remission of sin. So God used animal sacrifices in the Old Testament for specific purposes. We see that in Leviticus. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Praise God. And so saints, God needed to in place a permanent sacrifice once and for all. And who was that final? Who was the final sacrifice? Look at that in Hebrews 10. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for what?
For me.
For me. Look at this. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. And previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to what? To the law. Look at this. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all. So it's explained there in Hebrews that Jesus did it for us, for you, for me. How many are so thankful for that? Huh? How many are so thankful for that? Yes, amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. Look what it says in 1 Peter right up here. Knowing that you were not redeemed from corruptible things, like silver or gold, or from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank you. God made us whole. God made us new. God purified our heart. And without the shedding of his blood, and without the blood covering, the Holy Spirit would have never came in. He cleared out the way so the Holy Spirit could come in. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So saints, as the Hebrews were saved by applying the blood's lamb, we are saved by applying the blood of Jesus Christ. By faith, Moses kept the Passover feast as mentioned. Look at this in Hebrews. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, we have received who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. Look at Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the what?
The gift,
Of God. Not of works, lest anyone should what? Boast. And I close here. I close in Luke. Look at this. Luke 24. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was there with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Look at verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48. And you are what? Witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Praise God. Praise God. We serve a mighty God. And so this is why it's important to understand the Passover. It's all about Jesus. It pointed to Jesus. So thousands of years of the animal sacrifices culminated to one specific time 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. And 2,000 years later, we are the what? Recipients of the grace of God. Amen. Recipients of the grace of God. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. And I'm going to ask the people that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, if they've never given their heart to the Lord, please pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. They come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.